Family, because we are a family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. This is one body. And so therefore, it's right for us to greet each other, brother and sister, as I greet you guys as family.
Amen.
And how's everybody doing today?
Good.
It's great to see everybody here. We know we expected some more people as well. So
Amen.
It's really encouraged me, you know, to come out here to Bible study / discussion. Because, as I say discussion, because it gives you guys a chance to voice, you know, what the Bible is saying to you, what God is saying to you, you know, to give an input. And therefore, we learn from each other, and we encourage each other, and we grow as one body.
Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, our lesson the title of our lesson is called Labor in Love. Labor in Love. And just like our previous lessons and discussion, which have been, you know, very riveting, but the same thing tonight. Amen.
Amen.
So let's begin on the lesson. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you once again, Lord, for gathering us together, Lord.
Yes, God.
To learn from you, Lord.
Yes.
Your word is life. Your word is strength.
Yes.
Your word is encouraging to us, Lord. God, in this busy world, you have given us the instruction that even though we may be busy laboring, Lord, that we are to labor for you, Lord, and that we are to rest in you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. God, I ask you, Lord, to please open up our hearts and minds, Lord, so that we will be able to receive your word, and God, you will get the glory, and God, just continue to watch over us. And for those who may be coming, Lord, ask you, Lord, please grant them safe passage here.
Yes,
and we give you praise, honor, glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we say, pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome. Labor in love. So let's begin the lesson. Now, this is prepare you guys. The text from this lesson comes from the book of Colossians, which is the second chapter, as well as the third chapter. We're going to be going from, you know, here, you know, different places, but it's in the book of Colossians.
Amen.
Didn't know? Colossians is in the New Testament. I mean, it's not after Genesis. Amen. Amen. Little jokey joke. Okay. The lesson reads, when we entrust our lives to God, we are, in effect, offering our lives to God. In doing so, we invite God to transform us from our selfish ways to the ways of self-giving love. That is, we give ourselves to God so that God can remake us into the image of our Creator. This is the life that Jesus lived. It is the life of surrender to the God who is love. Jesus calls us to let go of our greed and of our self-serving behavior. Jesus empowers us to live instead a life of love as we rely on God's strength, wisdom, and help. In this new way of life, all we are and all we do are gifts received and gifts given to God. In this way, our busy lives are made new. Whatever was driven by selfish ambition, pride, or greed, including good deeds and religious activities, is let go. All that is centered in God's heart, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and forgiveness is pursued and undertaken as if we were doing it all for the one who loves us beyond telling. All our words and deeds take on this singular focus so that whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Amen.
Basically, it's talking about how we could, you know, we're going to read the text, talking about the old man and the new man. The group discussion. How would you define or describe compassion, kindness, humility, and gentleness? Let's take them one at a time. How would you define or describe compassion? Is someone being compassionate to you? How would you describe that?
Someone that helps you.
So I said, who helps you?
Right. I don't understand.
Why would, all right, let's get behind that. Why would they help you? What's behind the help?
As you, someone trying to help them to understand what the Lord's talking about.
Okay, compassion could say, like, maybe it's a, you help someone, as you said, maybe because there's a need.
Right.
You see a need, and God move in your heart to be a person to help that person, right?
Right.
So that's the compassion right there. You feel compassion, you know, you know, you don't just see something or see someone who needs help, but you're going to act upon that help, and you're going to have to do something. So that's compassion.
Yes.
You agree?
Yeah, I think compassion is, like the Bible says, that Jesus was moved with compassion. And we think, well, when you're compassionate towards something, you move towards making that thing better. You make a move towards making it better.
Exactly.
You're not just, you know, you sort of feel what they feel, and you want to do something about it.
Exactly.
You know, so I think compassion moves you. You know, it's not just like having sympathy where you just have
exactly. Sympathy. Yeah, that's the difference.
Compassion
right there.
Moves you to do something.
To act.
About it.
Exactly. That's compassion.
And the thing about with compassion, sometimes you do something, but when you do it with your whole heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going through, when you're doing something with your whole heart, that means you're doing it well and it's complete.
Exactly. Exactly. So you see a need,
yeah,
and then you say, okay, I want you, you know, the Spirit have you to have to do something. You do it, you want to give it your all.
Yes.
Because you want to see that need met.
Yes.
You want things to be better for a person over that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So you move in compassion.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyone else have a definition for compassion?
I think all of these are about affection. About affection and love.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay, what about kindness? How would you describe kindness?
Kindness is something that, you know, is the same as compassion. It's the emotion and the way you go about doing the things that you do. You have a kind heart. You know, you see someone in need and you make sure, you know, just like what we do here today.
Mm-hmm.
Is a part of compassion, is a part of kindness,
mm-hmm,
and it still is a part of giving.
Yes.
You know, so I think this kindness is a, you know, the way you do it, you know, with a open and a willing heart, you know, loving someone, you know, even though, you know, that person don't love you back,
mm-hmm,
you know, you have that love and that kind heart of that person.
It's the show, you know, if someone say, I would like a drink of water, it's how you present it.
Yeah.
You know, you do it in a kind way, you know, say, okay, here's your water, you know, or you just slam down here, you know. It's how you do it, it's how you present it.
It's just an example. I kind of, it's just a helping point it out to me. I was doing it, but not, you know, thinking the way I was doing it, because I was saying, next, next, you know, and she says, it's not a, you know, food line, even though it's the giving line, but, you know, let them come and be warm, you know, don't let them think that, you know, because we're giving them something, you know, we're just giving them because they need of it, but giving them like we want to. You know, love them when they come. You know, how are you today? You know, find something to say nicely to them. You know, how are you? How are you doing?
Amen.
You know, stuff like that.
It's the spirit behind it.
Yes.
You know, like, here, pick one, you know, all right, come
yes.
on.
Yes,
you
yes.
Yes,
it's a, you know, it's just a matter of being friendly, kind.
Yes.
And kind. You're friendly, you're considerate, you're, you know, generous of your spirit. spirit. You just warm.
Exactly. Being kind and being compassionate is also giving of yourself, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
What about humility?
How would we define humility? Someone who's humble.
Someone that don't take praise for what they do.
Someone who do not take praise for what they do.
Right. Well, I mean, it's like you can do it and you don't want no thanks, but you want to see them happy.
Being humble, we can also say like someone's doing something. And whether they get recognized or not, it doesn't affect them from their giving or for what they're doing. Right. You know, you're just being humble.
I was saying to, I think it was last week, but sometime, I don't know if it's a month ago or maybe 2 weeks ago, I was talking to Sister Evelyn about Jeff. And he didn't hear what I said, but, you know, the way that, you know, he, even though we have a lot of goods on the shelf, but right there and then, he does not want it to see it go down too low. You know, he was, you know, he enjoying doing it. And I was saying it to Sister Evelyn, he enjoying doing that. And Sister Evelyn said, you know, it's a long time coming. You know, something like that, you know, when someone, you know, doing something, you know, and enjoying doing it. You know?
Exactly.
And you can see, not just because, you know, someone see it on the outside, but he don't take pride and say, oh, I did that, you know, and I did this, you know. But he do it, and then you see it on the outside, how humble he is doing it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And he did not pay me to say that.
He did not pay you to say that?
Nah.
He gonna buy you some ice cream for saying that? Sister Evelyn.
You know, Pastor Jeff said this, you know, spoke about this a long time ago in one of his first sermons, and he just said that humility keeps, I remember it, because he said it's God's will, his word, his way.
Exactly.
So it's just it's a submission, you know, to God's will, his word, his way, not our way. And that's humility, because you're lowering yourself for God's purpose.
Humble yourself, as the Bible says. Yeah. As John the Baptist said, I must decrease so the Lord can increase. Amen. And that's so true. And even with the example that Sister Christine used, it also encompasses the other things that we just talked about compassion, about kindness. You know, that's, you see how Pastor Jeff, how he goes around making sure that not only say here to give out the food, but it's presented in the most excellent way.
Yeah.
Amen.
And that, and how, you know, it's always restocked, no matter what you take. You know, there's more. And then, you know, how that, you know, say, oh, yes, come to Pastor Jeff, blah, blah, blah. No, he say, here, come, you know. And it's all a spirit about how he, you know, how he's giving. So that's what we talk about.
Yeah.
And the next one is gentleness. How would you describe gentleness? I had to say a little joke here. I know sometimes gentleness is not a little joke, because sometimes my wife and I, we play with each other. we do this thing, the little tasks and stuff, what happened. Now, I'm a little bit bigger than my wife. Not only taller, but, you know, also with the weight mass. So my wife do this stuff, and I'm like, oh, ho, ho, wham! And then my wife, ah! Gentle, you got nothing!
He always reminded me to be gentle. He says, sometimes I don't know my own strength. I'm like, ooh, I'm sorry. Right. Just like also as a Sister Evan and Sister Brandy reminded me sometimes, you know, when I come to get a, you know, a hug and everything. Sister Brandy once said, she says, your brother Jane, she said, I'm not one of the homeboys, you know, like, hey, what's going on? Whack, 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 you know. I was gonna say, I'm sorry. I'm messing with China here. So how would we describe gentleness?
Tenderness.
Softness. Softness, exactly. Mm-hmm. Tenderness. Softness. Being gentle.
Being sweet.
Is that? Mm-hmm. And isn't that what Jesus want from us? When we go out to, being representatives of him to the world. And the thing is, we have to do that even though the world not doing it back to us, because we still have a mandate from the Lord to present ourselves no matter how people treat us, and which is hard. Mm-hmm. You know, we can always say, oh yeah, you supposed to be this, that, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay, wait till a real situation hits you, then we're going to see if you could do the same very thing that we already know and say. But this is why we thought we continue to read God's word so we could bring to remembrance, so we could reset our focus on what God wants to be and not how react to what people want us to, you know, react to.
Mm-hmm. Like, don't get mad, and they want us to get mad at them, but you can't get mad at them. You have to say, hey,
let it go, smile.
They say, roll off your shoulder.
They're part of humbleness, too.
Right, and just smile and say, the Lord, think in your head, the Lord don't want you to be mean.
Mm-hmm. Now, like this, now, what will the world say when you do that? Oh, you're weak.
Yeah. Weak and...
You're weak. I could get over on you.
Or you take weakness for kindness.
Exactly. That's what the world say. But, you know, we know who we serve. And what the world saying, the world's standards is much different than God's standards.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God's word.
Amen.
That's a good preview. So let's get into the lesson and also to the scripture, okay?
Amen.
All right, we're going to read from, Colossians, the second chapter, the sixth verse. So I'll read it right now. And it reads, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. It's just that, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. What is that saying?
That means, you know, when you receive God, you know, because we have so much, I use the word baggage. So take off those, you know, heavy baggage and, you know, walk with the Lord.
Yeah. Walk beside the Lord when he's speaking to you. You want to do what he wants you to do. Mm-hmm. Not what other people want you to do.
I mean, I think, you know, too, when we see the word walk in the Bible, mm-hmm. I mean, many times we can substitute the word live,
mm-hmm.
you know, like when we see walk in the Spirit, you know, some of the way we live, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight, mm-hmm. and that's how we live, too, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And so I think here when it talks about, you know, that we are to walk in the Lord, it's mm-hmm. like walk in his ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Emulate him. Mm-hmm. Imitate him. Follow him, as she was saying, you know, and do what, you know, he would have you to do. You know.
Exactly.
But it's about the way you live.
About the way we live. You're mm-hmm. right. And that's so true. See, to walk in the Lord is walk in Christ. I'm sorry. It means that we live how, you know, he said he came to give us a new life. you know, a new abundance. We're new creatures. We're going to continue to read on. And so he wants to live in that. All right, let's go to also 2nd.
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. 2 Colossians 20:23. Let's together. And it reads, therefore, if you die with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. What is that saying right there? If you die,
this is for all of us, and somebody in the body of Christ. I mean, the word is asked for all of us. But I think it's one of the most, it's a difficult passage sometimes to navigate through, especially mm-hmm. in King James. Mm-hmm. I don't know what version you just read, but it's really saying, why are you trying to go around following all these rules, trying to put on some and pretend that you have this wisdom, and then at the same time you try to act like you're humble and all those things, and none of those things accomplish anything.
Exactly.
You know, and I think it's really telling us, stop trying to put on airs. Mm-hmm. You know, by putting up all these rules and regulations, don't touch, don't do this, don't do that, and then puff your chest out, okay, I do those things. Exactly. As if that means something.
Exactly.
When it really doesn't, because it really doesn't speak to walking in your spirit. Like you said, it's like, the way you said it was false humility. Mm-hmm. What was the other word you used?
I'm sorry.
Neglect.
Have an appearance of wisdom.
Yeah, an appearance of wisdom. Yeah.
And self-imposed religion, false humility.
Self-imposed religion. You know what I mean? And a lot of people, you know, they put the rules up and they follow all these rules, but it's just self-imposed religion. And there's no real change in character or heart.
Exactly.
And the point is, we're to be changed to become more like God. Mm-hmm. If that's not happening, then we're not doing anything that's worth anything.
Exactly. And also, it said, neglect of the body, but are no value against the indulgence of the flesh. You know, I remember a quick story. I remember it was a Jewish gentleman came into the hospital. His wife was pregnant, but it was on Saturday. Saturday, you know, the Jews probably, you know, say, keep the Sabbath and, you know, remember it, keep it holy. Now, his thing is, their religion is they don't work on Saturday. So the cab pulls up, he gets out the cab. Now he gets out the cab and he comes to security and he said, okay, my wife is pregnant, but he's not going to open the door because that's work. He's not going to wheel his wife into the triage because that's work. So we scrambled to do this while he was just, you know, just standing beside us and, you know, just like looking on his phone texting. What happened?
That's not work.
That's work.
That's work. Hey.
but to them, they say, okay, I'm not going to open the door. I'm not going to do this because to them, you know, that's work. And if, you know, they, again, bring up, you know, taking something and making it a god. You know.
Didn't Jesus talk about that? Didn't he say Sabbath was made for man? Man wasn't made
not
for Sabbath.
For Sabbath. and Jesus also said it as well. He said, you know, he talked to the Pharisees. He said, if a donkey fall into a hole, you had a mule. He said, won't you pull it out even though it's on the Sabbath? He said, yeah, don't get so caught up in this. Yeah. But some people do. Don't eat this. Don't say that. You know, worship on this day at this time. Turn to this way, and that's the only way you're going to be accepted by God. And Jesus is not saying that at all.
That's like the Amish. They don't open their stores on Sundays. They refuse to do any of that. They do the Bible and They don't do any of that.
We could take any and all types of religion we have or denominations we have out here, from Methodist, Catholic, what have you, and they're going to all have their rules and regulations. But Jesus said, we don't need that, because there's nothing, because people who just do these things, and there's nothing changed about who they are as a person. There's nothing changed about their character. You know, some people say, okay, I know some churches that have foot washing. Oh, you have to get your foot washed, because it said in the Bible, Jesus washed the disciples' feet. But the whole thing behind that, Jesus was trying to teach and show the disciples about being servants. But people, you just go get your foot washed and, you know, you can still do whatever, but there's nothing wrong, I mean, changing your character, all that is for nothing. So, this is what the Bible is trying to say, you know, right here, you know, it say, don't get caught with just doing things, just to be doing it. We have to be a definite change in our heart and our spirit and our character.
And brother, I think it goes back to the questions you asked in the beginning, all these characteristics of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and so on, is that, you know, even if there's a rule, even if there is a belief, you know, in terms of what the Sabbath is, I'm not supposed to work with, Jesus' point was, wait a minute, the donkey's in there, you're going to get the donkey out. So I would just ask that gentleman, and here's your wife. You're not going to open the door for your wife. See, you know, someone is hurt and they're bleeding. You're not going to tend to them, because to bandage them up would be work. See, I don't believe, you see, and I think that's what Jesus is saying, right? Man's made for Sabbath, not the other way around. You still have to have the kindness and compassion and everything else.
Yes.
That should be greater than your rule. You know what I mean? That should be greater than your don't touch, don't do this, don't do that.
Well, this man...
You see somebody in need, if the rule says don't help them, the need and the compassion and the love and all that should override that rule.
Yes. Amen. And that's what Jesus said. He said, above all the things, is love will be at the forefront of everything.
I don't know if she was
going to. Well, I was going to say that does the rule, the men, some people make the rules up instead of the Lord.
Exactly.
The Lord wants love and peace and understanding and hope. And a lot of people make up things that shouldn't even be.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's been going on for long. That's why I say you have all these, you know, religions or faith or denominations or certain rules or certain beliefs. But there's no change in their character, though.
See, I was raised Catholic and Protestant both. And one Sunday, we would go by this rule. Next Sunday, we would go by this rule.
Wow.
And we didn't have no choice.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents didn't allow it. You listen to the parents.
Yeah. Well, that's what Jesus said. He said he come with a sword because he came, you know, there's going to be no gray area. You know, this is what God's way, this is man's way. All right, we're going to read from the third chapter of Colossians, the first through the 17th verse. And it reads, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Amen.
Amen. That's a lot. That is a lot. So, let's begin, because this is great. As you look over the entire text, ask yourself how to describe what it might mean that our life is now hidden with Christ. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. What does that mean? And we already discussed the part of this already.
It means that, well, that's how it's supposed to be. Our life is supposed to be hidden in Christ if we accepted Jesus as our Savior and Lord. So it means that the way we want to live or think we should live, we shouldn't have any thought, because it should just be all about Jesus. He should be in the forefront of our lives. He should be, people should see Jesus instead of seeing us. That's what it means. Our life is hidden in Christ.
Hidden in Christ, living in Christ, we know we talked about earlier.
And one other thing to it that is light supposed to be shining through you.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
that others might see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, I agree with those things. And, I think of things that are hidden.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of view.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And our lives are hidden in Christ. And, you know, I what I think of that is that who we are is out of view, but God wants to bring it into view.
Yes.
Because when we get saved, he puts something in us
that's
out of view.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says, work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. But he puts something in us when he saved us, but it's out of view. It's hidden.
Yes.
But as we walk with him, it gets more and more revealed.
Yes.
And as we change and become more like Jesus, then people see it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hidden in Christ until we start to walk with God and obey God and live the way he says it. And then what's out of view starts to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's hidden, but it's not to remain hidden.
Yes.
God's plan is for that new man to be revealed.
Exactly.
That's what I think about.
God give you wisdom, but that's what it is. Anyone else to add to that? To be hidden with Christ? Life is now hidden with Christ?
And I believe that, you know, sometimes when you, as Brother Jeff said, you know, it's hidden. And, you know, sometimes you have Christ within you,
mm-hmm.
and it's fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes you want to do stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, because he is in you,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's always coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want it to, you know, work for him, do the will of him, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah. And as I say, you know, just elaborating more, you know, saying that he'll put things in us, and then, you know, it motivates us, it gives an hunch and an urge to do those things.
Yeah.
Amen. Question number two. Describe and summarize the contrast Colossians 3:1-17 draws between the old self and the new self. We're gonna put these two questions together and say what other phrases might be used to describe what is being said in verses 5-9 when it instructs the reader to put to death and to rid ourselves of the characteristics of the old self. So let's describe what is the old self? What is the old self?
To me, the old self is, you know, before Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you was living in the world, you know, and doing what you wanted to do, how you do it, whatever you do, you know, in the world. But when you are in Christ,
mm-hmm.
you're a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the old self is before Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's look at, say, verse 5. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, that's the name of it probably, which is idolatry.
You're not supposed to do any of that.
No.
But that's the old self, right? That can be described as the old self.
Anger, wrath, verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. Mm. That's all the old self.
Okay, we're going to start right here for a second. So these are the old selves. So these are some of the characteristics of the old man. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, anger, wrath, malice, filthy language, out of your mouth.
Don't we still do stuff like that?
Amen. We get right to that, too. What do you see if you see a person who say they are Christian and they do that? What do that say to you?
They're not Christian?
No, because if they were Christians, they wouldn't be using all of that.
All right, let me see this. Are Christians perfect?
No.
No.
We hear a story though. Do we know some Christians who use filthy language?
Oh yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yes.
But I think what it is, because, like, you know, we're all works in progress.
Mm-hmm.
We all have under construction hanging over our head. You know what I mean, God? Because we're still being worked on by God. But I think when we act like that and do those things, it's just letting us know that that old nature still is there and must be conquered.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Paul talked about that battle, right? When I want to do good, I find that evil is always present, right? You know what I mean? And so that's the thing, you know, and that's why we never arrive.
Yes.
And we always what? Press toward the mark.
Exactly. Yeah.
He said, I haven't apprehended. I haven't arrived. I'm not who I'm supposed to, but I got to keep pressing.
Exactly.
Because otherwise, that old man will come back.
Exactly.
More and more and more.
Exactly.
You know?
That's zombie. Exactly.
Yeah. Walking dead. Right?
Exactly. You're the walking dead. That's why I said in the scripture, it says, put to death. You know, I use an example myself. I remember one time, I think it was my sister's. She called I have an older sister. She was on drugs, and she called saying that she wanted to do this and do that. And that got me riled up.
Mm.
She said she wanted to do a whole lot of stuff to my mother. And I started yelling. I was talking to my wife. I was yelling. I was cursing. I want to do this. And I was saying, don't you ever come to New Jersey. It'll be your last day and blah, blah, blah. Ooh. And so I was saying all this stuff. My wife talking about, she said, you're your new man. Put to death Warland Avenue. Warland Avenue is the place where I was born and raised. Put to death Trenton. You're a new man. So right there, it shows the different characteristics, you know, of the old man and the new man. Because as Pastor Jeff say, yeah, if you let circumstances get the best of us, or, you know, dwell on that, yeah, then the old man is right there ready to come out the grave.
You know, when you was talking, I sort of had the picture when you just said put to death the old man, is that sometimes we put the old man to death, and then we resuscitate him.
Exactly.
Yep.
Because sometimes it's like this pastor can say, like, because they say, we resuscitate him, we don't never know, we might need him again. He said, I have him right here just in case.
Breathe your life into him, and you know that stuff come out. You know?
Yeah.
That's why people say, and sometimes you're surprised when you think, man, I thought that was out of me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you find that, oh, you know what I mean? Because, you know, it's sort of like, remember the old movies where the monster's chasing the person and they kill the monster and then they sit and they rest. And then in the background, you see the monster start to move again.
Yes.
And you start yelling at the screen.
He's in
the movie. He's not. You know, yeah. That's how we are. Sometimes we sit and we rest and we turn our back on the monster.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some people said, oh, I ain't there yet. I'll put the Bible down. I ain't there yet.
Well, I always say that there's an angel on this side and a devil on this side. Never cross paths.
That's true. Well, that's the battle that's always going on. You know, the Bible said we will not be perfected until the second coming of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, but they say, no, we're not perfect, but we still, as Pastor Jeff said, we still have to press on. You know, God has given us, you know, so the marks that we're supposed to be getting into, you know, pressing towards to live for, you know, put to death old things. And once we continue to live those things day by day, you'll see that we don't really need that, or, you know, we grow and have a distaste for it. Even some of the things I used to do, I say sometimes in my prayer, I say, God, give me a distaste for it, so I won't have to do it again. There's something that I used to love doing, and I say, I know according to God's word, that's what not God-like. So I had to pray for it. I say, God, okay, I enjoy this or what too much. Give me a distaste to it.
Amen.
And then also now, after that, I could pray that, but now I'm from the discipline of, you know, staying away or what have you. And so, therefore, when, you know, through God's grace, then I won't see that. I won't even miss it no more. I understand. Sister Christine, I remember on the story say, you was sleeping. And it'll be your sister's house. Mm-hmm. And you say you heard a voice. You don't mind sharing that with us?
Yeah, I was sleeping. It was like before day in the morning. And I heard the voice, you know, clearly say, Christine, you know, take off those old ragged clothes and put on a garment of white. So the garment of white did not really got my mind until I realized that it was my sister who was calling me, because I thought it was so clearly, I thought it was my sister who was calling me. But when I jumped up out of the bed and run to the room, then everybody was dead asleep. Mm-hmm. The house was toasted dark. So I know, you know, I was wondering, you know, who, you know, why God telling me that. So I didn't fully understand what he was saying. And I went to Pastor Mullins and I asked him. He said, "That's, you know, that's very, you know, explanatory." He said, "You know, whatever you're doing, stop doing it and just, you know, change your ways, because God wants you to, you know, God wants you. So change those old ways, take out those old men, and put on the new man."
Amen. You know, just like obviously, when people in the church do certain things, Christ said that Nicodemus came at night. He said, "Why he asked me? You know, you come. You know, basically, Jesus was saying, he said, you're a scholar, you know, in the synagogue, but you don't know the thing of being born again. You know, God wants to become new creatures in Him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we could still be, I said, religious, do religious things, but have no type of connection to the Lord. You know, that's we have. That's why I said we have to be born again. We have to be new creatures. We have to be a children of God, not just creations of God. Mm-hmm. You understand? So this is one of the things I was saying, being the old man, you know, put to death. Because I'm quite sure people could look at us today, you know, Brother Les, you know, Sister Christine, all of us, and say that, oh, you're not the same person as you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, what happened.
I can read to that. I really do change.
And say, yeah, we all change. We are changing. And that's a wonderful thing, because we are pressing towards the mark. Amen. Anyone have anything about the old man, new man? So basically just showing the contrast right there between the old self and the new self. And I think Sister Christine also talked about in the question, we jump down to question number 4, say, what it might mean to clothe yourself in the qualities of the new self. I'm sorry, what's that?
I said you certainly look different.
You look different, you're right. You have a new attitude, a new spirit in you. Right?
Kind.
Exactly.
Merciful.
People used to look at me for some reason. They say, James, some of my family members would say, I remember you used to be so angry. And I'm like, really? And I say, angry? I say, I never get that. And some people look at me today like, why do you know? My supervisor say the same thing with people at her job. Say, why are you always smiling? I'm like, am I? You know? Yeah. You have God have put a different spirit in you. You know, people come to work Monday morning, oh, it's Monday. You know, I say, good morning. What's so good about it? I'm like, what? Number one, God woke you up. Number two, you have a job. Number three, God gave you a chance to come to that job. You know, come on, there's a whole lot of things.
Yes.
Yeah.
He lets you wake up in the morning.
Exactly, yeah. You know.
He lets you go to back to bed and wake up again.
Exactly, that's called grace. Right. So that's the good about it. But, you know, but we see that, and we have that spirit of, we don't focus on the things, you know, on the old, we focus on the new. Mm-hmm.
Instead of the negative, you
exactly.
Think of all the positive.
Exactly. And they see that, and sometimes, you know, and that's what draws people towards us, you know, towards God. Because they say, why are you so happy all the time? Isn't that, you know, happening to you, or that happened to you? Why is it that you're so positive?
I hate that. Because I always get called. My girlfriends always say, well, you're not negative. I said, well, you need to change your ways. Get positive.
Put on a different spirit. So right. I say, put on a new man.
Right.
Amen.
Because they tell me that I did a turnabout.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I didn't. I'm the same person, except I believe in a lot more, and I believe in being positive and not negative.
It's about your belief in God.
Right. Well, that's all together. Because since I died so many times, I know there's God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Anyone else about saying being clothed yourself in the qualities of the new self? Basically, just God telling us, you know, just to put on just the new qualities that there's talk about right here. The new man is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. It says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another.
I have a question, Brother Jay. Sometimes you forgive somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what about if you forgive them,
mm-hmm.
but still hold on to that hate?
Yeah. I don't think you can forgive them.
I forgive you. You know, before I wasn't talking to you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now I talk to you, but I still have, I don't know if it's the way you did me wrong. I still have it in my head.
Mm-hmm.
What do you? what do you do about that? Or what do I call that? I do that. Do I forgive them or not?
I believe that you forgive them, but it's always the devil is always going to like to bring up an incident of what happened, of their hurt.
What is it? Do I forgive them?
If you remember what they did, you're human. So if you see them, you say you forgive them, as long as there's no scratching in your heart that, you know, it makes you cringe at the thought and, you know, like, you start yelling at the person out of the blue all of a sudden, that's unforgiveness that's still in your heart. But if you say you forgive them, you can talk to them like a person, you know,
there's two ladies at my job, you know, they done me wrong, and I forgive them, and I talk to them, but today, they come to me with something, and I said, in my head, I talking to my inside, mm-hmm. and I said, wow, they talking to me nicely, but I keep them away from me, like, you know, have them
a distance
away from me.
Mm-hmm.
Is that mean I did not forgive them, or what do you do?
I don't think necessarily. I mean, I don't know exactly because I don't know what happened and all that. And,
yeah.
But I think a couple of things, that when you forgive somebody, I believe that one of the tests that you know you arrived at the place of forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
is that you can think about the thing, and it you don't get that rise in you anymore.
Okay.
You're not angry about it, you know what I mean? And you can mm-hmm. get along with the person or whatever. I don't necessarily think it means now everything is still the same.
Right.
Like, for example, you know, let's say, you know, sometimes you have people over your house,
mm-hmm.
and someone says, hey, can I use your restroom? And says, sure, it's upstairs. And they go upstairs into your, you know, and they got passed through your bedroom,
mm-hmm.
and then they took your wallet and your jewelry and they stole it, you know, and you find out later. Now, you may forgive them, but you may not let them back in your house. You understand what I mean? Like, I'm not mad at you anymore for you taking my jewelry, but you're not using my bathroom again. No, you're using the bathroom downstairs.
Okay, I get
you. You understand what I mean? I don't think.
Well, that's the way I felt there. Because it's not like I said, I don't have anything against them now, because I, you know, I prayed over it and I really, because they did me real bad. But I pass it and I started to, first I start talking to one and pass the other one. But now both of them talk to me, you know. But I still, they want like, I just tell, why didn't you tell me about your birthday? No, I wouldn't do that. You know, stuff like that. So I don't know if I still have something, you know, I feel like I hold them off like this, but not, I have not, no hate in my heart for them.
Well, one thing you say about forgiveness is that we forgive a person or an incident, we forgive, you know, that particular thing. But God has given us wisdom, because, you know, if a person is continually doing that same thing, you know, okay, I'll forgive you what you did, but I'm not going to give you a chance to do it again. So, yes, we have memory, you know, the Bible said that God forgive and forget. We're going to remember things. You understand? Just because you remember a particular thing doesn't mean that you don't forgive them. It's just bringing to your mind that something did happen. But now you know how to behave, accordingly. Okay. You know, you say, okay, I forgive you, but you know what? I don't mean like, hey, buddy, you know, you don't grab it and where they're going to grab it so you can do it again. You know, you're not, as the example of Brother Jeff said, you're not going to have someone come in your house, rob you, say, okay, I forgive you, and then you say, hey, can I use the bathroom? Yeah, go right back up there again. No, that's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. So now you know, and there's nothing wrong with saying, no, you will not. You use the bathroom or you go around the corner to the gas station, you know.
Well, I have a saying that if they do it once, you forgive them. Do it twice, that's not good. But do it third time, then you're sneaking the grass.
Well, that's just the character. that's the character of the person.
I mean, I forgive.
Yeah, but you forgive, but you know the type of person they are.
Right.
Yes.
See, I'm having that problem right now. I mean, the woman, she's trying to get around me now, and I'm like, when she says hello, I'll say hello, or I'll thank her. For the rent, I mean, paying the rent,
mm-hmm.
I thank her. But in my mind, she's going to slit her right trying to do something else. So I'm like...
Hey, I just want to say something, but I know we're going to be closing soon, but, you know, I think sometimes, too, the relationship you have with the person is important in what forgiveness means. And it seemed like, well, how can it should mean anything? But I think, like, with the example I'm saying, like, if that was, like, I was giving a party and someone came by my house, mm-hmm. I don't really have a relationship with them, or, you know what I mean, they were a guest.
Yes.
Then, see, to me, it's going to be easier to say, I got to create different...
Yeah.
I got to create some safety zones here, mm-hmm. because of what you've done. I'm not holding it against you, but until... Because I don't have that relationship with you. But I think about, like, a husband and wife,
mm-hmm.
and then one of them is unfaithful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know there's been plenty of examples where the spouse who was, you know, betrayed,
mm-hmm.
actually forgives the other spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually go on and, you know, but I think there was more of a relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So like a coworker to me, you may say, well, you know what? I used to go to lunch with you now. We're okay, I can still speak to you, but I'm not at that point where I'm sitting down and breaking bread with you anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to say that with your wife, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
you're like distant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you respect them. I mean, you try to give them respect and forgiveness, but then if they get too close, you don't want that because you're afraid they're going to do the same thing all over again.
And that's the thing, like, I think with the husband and wife, because that fear that something's going to happen again, you know what I mean? And that's why forgiveness is really something, you're talking about something that comes from God, you know what I mean?
I'm sorry.
That comes from God.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. We're, as human beings, I think we're incapable of truly forgiving. That is a God thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? To get to that point where, because you have to leave yourself vulnerable. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a...
It's hard for everybody. Yeah. You can't... Because someone could say, oh, just if someone does something, just forgive them, because that's what God says. All right, okay, really? Now, we could all have our personal level of threshold of forgiveness, but it's not just like that simple. Because we all have it. And Jesus said that we're supposed to forgive a person like 7 times 70. I was going to do the same thing. It's the same thing because it's the character. That's really hard. That is really hard. Your sister?
Yeah, and I just wanted to piggyback what Pastor Jeff said because it is a matter of relationship. Because
mm-hmm.
some things, you know, I want to be with the point where God is. Like, God forgets. Doesn't matter who you are. God
right.
said he forgives and he
right.
forgets.
Mm-hmm.
I want to forget mm-hmm. for every relationship, but I don't. Some people... I have in this category, okay, you did that
it's
now, you're not going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to let you get that close,
yeah.
You're going to do it again. And other people, they have hurt me, and I, you know, had to forgive them where wipe the slate clean,
mm-hmm.
where they were open to
right.
do it again.
Yeah.
So I want to be there, and that,
mm-hmm.
that is a matter of relationship, because some people you just care about, and you love, and you want a relationship
right.
with, so...
Mm-hmm.
It's better for you just to wipe the slate clean and start over. For other people, no.
Exactly.
You wipe it a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's
exactly.
like you can't fully touch things. You know, you have to kind of pull back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know a friend of mine, she was raped. And she said, how do you forgive that? And you know, I was like, oh my God, I'm like, Lord, how do I answer this? Mm-hmm. The woman was raped. And then she knows the person. Mm. And person is out walking around. Mm. And you know, never did time or nothing like that. And but so how do you say, okay, I forgive you? Mm. How do you do that?
God.
See? And yeah, we say God, yeah, because only God, I say, but actually live that. And these are one of the qualities of putting on the new man we talked about tonight. So, you know, we're gonna end
well,
right
we
here.
We can't judge the person. No, we're not supposed to judge the person. The Lord forgives them anyway. But it's like he don't necessarily have to be judged here. He'll be judged up there.
Yeah, that's with God, but we talk about relationship with each other here. You know, we say, you know, as we talking about, you know, putting on the qualities of living in the cloth of the new man.
Right.
How do we do that? You know, I say it's not as easy as some people might think it is.
Amen.
You know, so we just going to end right here. But this is, you know, I like discussing this, and I hope you guys like it as well. But we're going to continue next week. And as Pastor Jeff said, there's a time when I say, close the book. Amen. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Let's get ready to leave. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this word that you have given us, Lord, about seeing the examples of where you brought us from, Lord, being resurrected in you, Christ, that we are to live and be the new man, Lord. And ask, Lord, to please continue to search our hearts, search our souls, Lord, and so that we could continue to live out the qualities of the new man as you would have us to be.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, as we're about to go to our respective places, Lord, ask you, Lord, to please keep each and every one of us safe.
Yes.
Ask you, Lord, that our homes be in the same way as we left it, Lord.
Yes.
And ask you, God, to please continue to watch over us the remainder of the week. God, we give you praise and we give you glory, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' mighty name, we say and pray. Amen.
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 The new man.